today on Real Radio.
You may not think much about yourself. We may not think much about you either. I don't know you. But I can tell you this with all authority. God loves you. You may hate you. God loves you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Servant Messiah, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the Book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus, as the one who will come to deliver us. But Isaiah's final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass, and that's how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 49, we saw that from this chapter on through Isaiah 53, God begins to reveal to us that the servant Messiah is His Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus first came to earth, His only purpose was to do God's will. The Jews, however, were waiting for a political deliverer, so they refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But God did not fail in His mission. Instead, He made the way for all of us to receive His gospel of salvation. So today on day 3 of chapter 49, Pastor Jack tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to us at the perfect moment to accept Him. When He was crucified, He paid a great price, but He didn't complain because He loves us. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. And now, continuing his lesson called The Servant Messiah, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We pointed out to you, after traveling all those miles, there's the sign that says Kidron Valley. It's the same valley on the west side called the Kidron, and on the east side the Kidron, and one links to the Mediterranean, and the other one links to the Dead Sea, and the Bible says that that's where the water's going to flow someday. You can stand in the spot with your Bible open. He's coming back. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9. Zechariah 12, 9. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Wow. We ought to go to the UN right now and like spray paint that on the wall. Can you imagine? It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Israel. Love God. Signed God. Verse 10, Zechariah 12, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. That is awesome. There's going to be a day when the Jews will see and understand. Verses 5 through 7, the servant Messiah. Third thing is that he gathers his people from afar. And we looked at that last time together. He says to them, and I'll read it quickly. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For he shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Listen, he's saying, you're not only going to save Israel. We'll learn in a moment, you're going to wind up saving the world. God had told the nation of Israel through Moses that he would bless them. Listen, God said, I've taken you because you're the least among all peoples of the nation. I will put my spirit upon you, follow me, obey me, and you'll be blessed. And you ought to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. In chapter 28, God lists the blessings if you follow him, and he lists the curses if you reject him. God gives you the choice to follow him or not. Every one of us have choice. You appreciate that, right? You like choice. We all like choice. God gives us choice. But with choice comes responsibility for the choices we make. If we make dumb choices and wind up getting messed up, you can't blame God for that. Okay? Just don't make dumb choices. And you can prevent yourself from making dumb choices by waiting. Just slow down, will you? We don't have to make dumb choices. But God says, I want to bless you. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses is being God's prophet to the people. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, this is what he says. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, in other words, choose, you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Listen. So Moses is speaking to the Jewish people, and God is already telling them, if you don't obey me, you're going to be driven out. But look what he says in verse 2, chapter 30. And you return to the Lord, your God, and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. There's no other people group on the planet that can say that but the Jewish people. Are you with me, everyone? This is a direct announcement, God speaking to the Jewish people. You disobey me, your judgment will be that you're going to be driven out to all the ends of the earth. You obey me, I'll bring you back. Verse 4. If any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. It's absolutely amazing. That's what God's word says. So if you're a skeptic tonight, I'm just asking you, Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 5, find a people group that matches, that fits, and entertain for a moment the Jewish people. If God has not brought them back from the four corners of the world and brought them into their own land since May 14th, 1948. No other nation can say that. That's why I say our faith is founded upon fact. I love it. It says in verse 6 of, we're back now, Isaiah 42, verse 6. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And all God's people said, amen to that. That verse right there, verse 6, you can put your initial right next to it. Because don't let anybody tell you, you can't be saved, you're a Gentile. So wait a minute, a Jew told me that I could be saved. Isaiah. His salvation would be for the salvation of the entire world. If you're willing to trust him. So we write this down. Zechariah 9, verse 1. Isaiah 9, verse 1. Isaiah 9, 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. He's talking about that region of the world, northern Israel, by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. God announced through the Jewish prophet that salvation would come to the Gentile world. It's absolutely awesome. Verse 7, Isaiah 49, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to whom man despises, to him whom the nation, notice, nation, it's Israel, abhors, refuses him, rejects him, to the servant of rulers, interesting, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, he has chosen you. Now listen, we're going to come in for a landing now. I want you to look at verse 8. It says in verse 8, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Anybody recognize that? Sound familiar? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is, I hope you get a lot out of this in a moment. I was so happy with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Okay, who's speaking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians? It's Paul. The Corinthians, where was Corinth? Greece. You can go there today. It's Greece. Are they Gentiles? Big time. Pagan worshiping Greeks. Paul is speaking. Paul, the Jew who worships Jesus because of the Old Testament, is in Gentile land speaking to pagan worshiping Greeks. And listen to what he says. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, now he's going to quote the Bible, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul said that to a bunch of Gentiles. Where did he get that idea from? From Isaiah. The message was given to the Jewish people. But Isaiah also said that the salvation of the Messiahship would come also to the Gentiles. Paul, who knows that, a Jew, preaches the gospel salvation, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, and of all places, not just Jerusalem, but in Corinth, the pagan capital of the world at that time. And guess what happened? A bunch of pagans got saved. They heard that, and they threw off their pagan gods, and they began to follow the God of heaven. Notice the urgency. Now, in the acceptable time, listen, and we're going to end with this. The word, both in Isaiah and in Corinthians, the word means this: in the delightful, sweet, desirable, favored. The word implies at the pleasant time. Listen, the word means at the perfectly placed moment the gospel comes. Church, here's where we end. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came from heaven, born of a virgin into this world in a human body, God among us, Emmanuel, that God saves. His name, that name is Jesus. God saves, God our salvation. That he would live just like you and I did. He would feel exactly what you and I would feel, but in righteousness. There was no sin in him because he was God in flesh. He was tempted in all points, just like you and I are, but not with sin. We're without sin. He went to the cross, though he was not guilty of anything, and he never defended himself, because in our place he died for the sins of not only the world, but of course to the benefit of those who would trust him. Salvation is to the entire world, but only those who trust him benefit from that salvation. He died for all the sins of the world. He died for Adolf Hitler's sins. He died for Saddam Hussein. He died for me. And the Bible says that on the third day, he rose again from the grave according to the scriptures. And he ascended back to heaven. And the Bible says that he is there in heaven now making intercession for us to the Father. So what does that mean? That means tonight, in the acceptable time, you just heard the gospel, friends, just now. If tonight you're rejecting the gospel, you're no different than ancient Israel. If you're rejecting the gospel tonight, you're no different than a pagan. Tonight you would be saying, On what grounds? On what grounds are you saying no? I'm really curious. On what grounds would you reject him? Listen, you can reject me. You can reject everyone around you. That's completely irrelevant. We don't really care. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about forever. You may not think much about yourself. We may not think much about you either. I don't know you. But I can tell you this with all authority. God loves you. You may hate you. God loves you. You may say to yourself, I'm going to kill myself. And God says, don't do that. I love you and I want you to live. God would say to you tonight, you haven't even experienced life yet. God is saying to you tonight, I want you to respond to the gospel, and the proof is overwhelming. The gospel message is in my son Jesus, who's prophesied in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New, and it's absolutely a fact, and why would you reject him? Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Why would you refuse? You have no reason, only to be foolish. Think about it. Only to be absolutely foolish. Your argument as to why you should not become a Christian tonight is absolutely unfounded. You can throw up whatever excuse you have. And listen, a blind man could shoot holes through it. Because you're going to go personal. I'm not a Christian because I went to church when I was a kid and I was molested by a priest. We're sorry about that. That's terrible. I understand your rejection of church. I get that. We're not talking about church. We're not talking about earthly priest. We're done with that. We're talking about the priest, Jesus, who died for you. Listen, you can reject man. You can reject man and survive, but you can't reject him and survive. He came because man is lost and on his way to a flaming hell. Because hell was created, the Bible says, for the devil and his angels. Think of that. God made hell for Satan and his demons. Man was not supposed to go there.
Well, why would a loving God send people to hell?
He doesn't. People are getting in line to get into hell. They're lining up. They are. I'm not joking. They're lining up. Say, how do you know that? Because you tell them, hey, you know what? You need Jesus. God loves you. And if you confess your sins to him, you see that Christ is the Messiah. The Bible says to repent of your sin, that you tell him, God, I'm sorry for my sin, and I'm going to give my life to Christ. Listen, the moment you say that to somebody, they say, what? I'm not going to give up my fornication. Are you kidding? What? I'm an adulterer. I'm a bank robber. I'm a murderer. I'm not going to give that up. I'm a cheat. I'm a creep. I'm not going to give that up. People are getting in line to get into hell. They don't want Jesus. It has nothing to do with the facts. It has to do with choice. And the Bible says, at the sweet moment you hear the gospel, now is the time to accept it. You want to know why? It's very serious. Because if you hear the gospel, like maybe tonight, and your heart is kind of like, I think I need to make this decision. And in a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity. And you're like, oh no, oh golly, oh gee whiz. And you're already starting to get a little angst about it. I think we got to go now. That's because it's a spiritual decision. And you're going up against the kingdom of darkness by entertaining the thought of coming to Christ. But you're not going to go to heaven. The Bible, Jesus said, you're not going to make it to heaven unless you acknowledge him. While the world cusses him and curses at with his name. He says, if you acknowledge me before other people, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. He says, if you reject me before man, I will reject you before my Father, which is in heaven. He paid a great price for you. To reject that price just keeps you in that terrible line. And he says, it's a sweet moment for you to hear the gospel. And the Bible says you should accept him. Let's pray right now. Give you opportunity to do that. This is not a sales pitch. I don't need to say anything more. I'm going to ask you right now. If you understand what I'm saying, heads bowed, eyes closed tonight, you'd be saying, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I heard it. I get it. I want him now. Put your hand up wherever you're at. I'll see your hand. Raise it high. I'm not sure what you're doing right there. Okay. God bless you. God bless you. You. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone thinking in their mind right now, God bless you. Anyone thinking in their mind right now, you ought to do this? You got a little battle going on? I highly recommend you listen to the Holy Spirit. That's him talking. God bless you and you in the back to my far right. God bless you right here, young lady. If you already raised your hand, you can put your hands down. One more call out to you. If there's a little bit of a storm going on inside your heart and mind, you're saying, man, I think I should do this, but I don't know if I can, I don't know if I could give up my girlfriend. I don't know if I could stop sleeping with that guy. I don't know if I could. I love my drugs, man. I don't know. It's Jesus or this. Listen, we all understand that. Don't think like that. He doesn't accept you because you're giving something up. He accepts you because you're coming to him. He will give you the power to give that thing up. He will give you the power to walk right, live right for him. He'll do it. Don't you dare tonight be thinking that you're going to clean your life up and then come to Christ. He won't have you that way. Because by the time you come to him that way, you're so arrogant, self-righteous, and proud, there's no room for God in your life. You have reformed yourself, and by that time, you don't need God. No, he wants you. He needs you. He opens up his arms to you just as you are. He'll fix you from the inside out. If you've not yet raised your hand and you need to do that now, you got 10 seconds. Just put your hand up if that's you. Awesome. God bless you. Let's all of us tonight, God bless you. Let's all of us tonight stand. All. Everyone. A lot of hands. Good. Let's pray. Listen. All of us together. Those of you who raised your hands, will you do this? This is kind of fun because I know we're a big group here right now, but all of a sudden, that's irrelevant. Right now, if you mean this, God's going to hear you. So let this come from your mouth. Church, if you want to say it with them, that's fun too. It's awesome. It sounds beautiful. But those of you who raised your hands, say this because God is listening. The very God who wrote this amazing, perfect Bible is the one who's listening. Say this to him. Dear Lord, I come to you now as I am. I recognize tonight my need for you. I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. And I confess that tonight. I receive you, Jesus Christ, risen Lord and Savior. And I give you my life. And I do so now before these people and your holy angels. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Servant Messiah, Part 2. We're so glad you joined us today. And just like Pastor Jack said, God is listening. Simply give your life to him, and he will give you the power to change. You cannot do it on your own. The Servant Messiah, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation. The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you've recently given your heart to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've rededicated your life to the Lord, or you just really need to understand just what it means to be saved, we've got some information that we'd love to pass along to you. It's the Know God tab at our website. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. And you can find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or you can access the information through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. That tab called Know God at our website will give you insight into how much God loves you and that none of us are here by accident. But the truth is, our sin has separated us from God, and sin simply means our failure to measure up to God's holiness and standards. That's why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, providing a way for us to have a personal relationship with him. That Know God tab also tells you exactly what your commitment of faith involves and provides a way to receive more information to help you grow spiritually. All you got to do is give us your email address and we'll get that out to you. Again, it's called the Know God tab, and you'll find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, be sure to download our Real Life mobile app and access the Know God tab right there through your mobile device. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.